Thanks for everybody for coming. Good to see this number here. Looks like the herd is a little thin, but we can still make up for it by being of good quality. And speaking of quality, let's sing a good number here in the blue book as we have picked this number to start with. And want you to join in. Need some good alto throughout the song in the Sweet Forever, number 278. 278. Sounded good. Turn back a few pages to number 63. Slow down just a little bit. He leadeth me, 63.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Not awake yet, huh? Good morning, everybody. We're glad to see everybody out today. Hope everybody is feeling well. As you can tell, our crowd's down a little bit. From what I understand, there's quite a bit of sickness that's going around and even in our church. And I hope you're well, and I hope you stay well. Somebody said, are you feeling good? And I said, yeah, so far, and I knocked on wood is what I did. And so I hope everybody continues to feel well. This is the time of year where people get together a lot for the Christmas season and Thanksgiving and such. And so little bugs get passed around. And like I said, I know several is already sick, and some have been sick and are better now. I'm glad of that. Brother Steve is one of those. We missed him last week, but we are glad that he's able to be back with us today, along with you also, that we're not able to be here last week too. We're glad that we're able to be in the house of the Lord today. I am going to make one quick announcement. The youth are going this afternoon over to the Bethlehem Marketplace. It's where they're going, and we're inviting everybody to go as a group is what we're doing, but it's mainly for the youth, I guess is the best way to say it. But we're wanting the youth to go and take part in this, but we want everybody to go is what we're wanting to do. If you have someone young in your family, encourage them to go. From my understanding, I've not been, but there's several of the church members that have been. This is a place that they have set up like Bethlehem would have been in the days that the Lord was born. I'll say this, everything is a depiction, I guess is what you'll say, but it is a picture of it. But if you'd like to go, we're going to gather together back here at the back after a while, after service, and then we're going to go on over is what we're going to do. But I want to make that quick announcement, and just everybody come and be a part of this is what we want to invite you to do. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope everybody is doing well. Let's be prayerful for our service today. We are going to still do our children's church. I want all the kids to come right over here, if you would. Come on. Everybody that will. We're a little thinner today. There you go, Luke. You can sit beside me. You come right up here and sit beside me. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all? Y'all excited for getting out of school before too long? When do y'all get out of school? Oh, yeah, you're a dude. Don't you? When do y'all get out, Lily? 2 weeks? Ugh. Don't know. You just go. Okay. You know when you get out? Another week? Okay. She better off than y'all are. It's good to see y'all today. I know everybody's looking forward to the great Christmas time that we'll get to celebrate. And last week I talked to you about giving and the little boy that gave. Who do you think gave more than anybody else besides your mom and daddies now? Did they not give you something good when it comes to Christmas? Who gave the most, do you think? Nobody's going to speak. Jesus, yeah, you said it, didn't you? Yes, you did say it, Luke. I heard you. I took me a second to realize Jesus gave the most. He gave everything, didn't he? He gave everything. Now, what most of the time when we think of giving, we think about a package or we'll say a birthday present or something like that. But what Jesus gave was something very special. And I don't usually try to bring out a verse in this, but I do want to try to bring out a verse today in this. And this is found in Matthew, the 20th chapter. And what Jesus said about himself, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to or have somebody wait on him, in other words, but to minister or to serve others is what he says, and to give his life a ransom. That's one of the things that that I want us to really think about. When you think about Jesus, a lot of times everybody's getting ready for Christmas, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we think about him being born into this world. Now, don't ever believe this, but there's a lot of people who says that Jesus really didn't even come to be until he was born here on this earth. Now, don't believe that. If somebody tries to tell you that, don't believe it. Because Jesus was always. He was with God when he made everything. So, where was Jesus until then? He was in heaven. That was where he was. He was with God the Father there in heaven. There was times when they came down in the days of old and they met with men, just like he does with us in church. That little still small voice that he speaks to us with. But he was up there and he had all the glory, and I'm going to say the riches of heaven. He was God up there with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he gave all of that up. Remember I said he gave all of that up to come down to this world. Now, to give his life for you and I. He paid a ransom. Now, what a ransom is a price. He paid the greatest price that ever was, and what he did, somebody had to die for our sins. And he was the only one that was fit to give his life for our sins. No animal, nobody could ever do it, but Jesus could, and he did. So he gave everything he could. Don't you think? Well, I'll say it this way. If somebody gives you a present, and I'll say it this way. Do any of you girls have a boyfriend? Oh, I'm getting a look. You got a boyfriend. When Chad gives you a present, does that make you want to give him a present? You'll see, you'll find that out in time to come. When somebody gives you a present, you'll want to give something for them. Now, the idea is, what can you give to the Lord? Okay, I'll let you go. Thank you. Good job, Luke. You answered the question right. Appreciate everybody being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. As we said, there is a lot of sickness going around with different bugs. Brother Tom is out today. He was actually going to be doing children's church for me today, but he's got strep throat, different ones. And I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to get in trouble if I leave somebody out. But let's remember the different ones that are sick in our midst. Anybody else got a prayer request before we go any further? Let's remember the ones that we mentioned in our Sunday school classes. I would think that everybody has somebody on their heart that needs our prayers. So today, let's remember them in our prayers today. We'll call on one to lead us in prayer, but we won't. Go ahead, Sister Kendra. Let's do remember Sister Kendra's son-in-law. He needs to get saved. He doesn't believe in God. We witnessed ourselves with our son-in-law. We got to see him get saved. When he wouldn't go, when he wouldn't believe, if we'll continue to pray, if we'll help her out praying for him, we'll get to hear about him being saved. Let's do keep that in mind this morning. Somebody else. Yeah, Brother Randall's son is another one. That he needs our prayers for the same reason. Somebody else. We're glad to see each and every one here today. We're glad to have our visitors with us today. We thank you for being here. And we just hope and pray that you'll get a blessing out of today's service. Anybody else got a prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yeah, let's do remember Brother Rod and his neighbor. He fell this week and got a bad concussion out of the fall. So let's remember him. Somebody else. Let's remember all the sick, and Brother Stewart mentioned it this morning. As far as in the bulletin, the prayer request, there was several requests for members' mothers. Let's remember them in our prayers also. Somebody else. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Slick, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
Continue our song service. Since it is the month of December and the Christmas season, let's do a Christmas song. 158, the bottom of the page. 158. Love that. Y'all do that real well. Sorry about that intervention there. I caught you by surprise. All right, let's continue our song service, number 199. 199.
Yeah.
Let's do one more. Let's do number 204. 204. 204. I've got the wrong number here. I can't even read my own writing.
Thank you, Sister Rachel, for praying this morning. Good to see everybody out today. I do want to say once again, we're glad to have anyone that's visiting with us today. We appreciate your coming to be with us today, and I hope that the Lord will bless you for coming out to the house of the Lord today. Let's be about God's business. This ought to be a time of year in which that we remember what the business of the Lord is. And that business is lifting up the name of Jesus. And that's what we're going to try to do today in this service. But if you have a word of testimony or anything, I want you to follow the Lord. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Again, we're glad to see everyone here today. We're going to take our reading lesson today from the second chapter of the book of Luke. Second chapter of the book of Luke. As you know, I'm not usually a preacher of occasion. This is the story of the birth of Jesus, this chapter is. I'm not going to read all of it, but I am going to take my thought from there today. So I ask that you pray first and foremost that the Lord's will be done in this message, and that the words that he wants brought out will come out today in this service. As I said, I'm not going to read all of the birth of Christ, but we're going to take our thought from here. In the second chapter, we're going to start with verse 4 and what it says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." That's all the reading lesson that we're going to bring out today thus far in this lesson from this chapter. That is the second chapter of Luke, and reading verses 4 through 7 for our reading lesson. I want you to pray for me today. This message, in a sense, is going to be just about as simple as I can get it. I'll put it that way. It's going to seem like a message that you would hear a lot of times from maybe a younger preacher, because it's going to be very simple in the ways that we're going to bring it. But I want my messages to always be as simple, well, to be simple enough that the very youngest might hear and understand, to the oldest person there that's got the most wisdom about God. I want everyone to be able to understand what is in the Scripture. In this message today, and you'll notice, and this is something that we talk about a lot of times, especially at this time of year. I am thankful for my upbringing. I grew up in a place, and I made mention of this not too long ago with some friends, that I grew up in a place where I was blessed to be able to live in a place, and you could go 5 miles in any direction from my house, up and down any road, and I was privileged to be able to go to a church that believed in heartfelt salvation, for one thing, but they preached the truth about salvation. I grew up in a school that nowadays it's kind of hard to do, but every year the kids in the school put on a play about the birth of Jesus. That was a privilege that our kids today, I'd say very few of them get to experience that privilege today. But I grew up with teachers that believed in being saved. I grew up with teachers that believed in God, believed in Jesus, believed in this birth. And so these things were ingrained in me at a young age, I guess is the best way to put it. But it was a blessing to be able to grow up in such a way. But with this thought of knowing about the birth of Christ and how that he came into this world, there's some wonderful thoughts to be brought out. And today we're going to try to bring out one particular thought today that's going to go along with this today. And basically, you see here, as you read this lesson today about Jesus, about his birth, how his mother, Mary, and her espoused husband, Joseph, how that it was time, as it says here, taxation time. I understand that from most men that have much more wisdom than I do, that this really wasn't a taxation. This was probably a census count. They wanted to get a count of everybody and put them into the particular areas of where their lineage came from. And thus Joseph took his espoused wife, Mary, with him to Bethlehem. She, being great with child at this moment and in this time, most of the time in these days, people would say, no, our young mother needs to stay home and rest, was what they would have probably said in our day. But in that time, the women did as they did the rest of the year. Even if they were great with child, as the scripture said here. And so she traveled with her espoused husband, and she went with her husband from Nazareth unto Bethlehem. Now this journey would probably have been probably around 30 miles, and I'm going to use the term as the crows fly, probably more than that, but by the time they went around mountains, went around rivers or water areas or places where that they could not travel, they traveled this great distance to be taxed or to be censored by the Roman people. And as this was coming about, they got to Bethlehem, and the scripture tells us here that it was time for the baby to be born, and that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Now, I've heard it said over the years that probably he was wrapped in a horse blanket. I don't believe that's what that's talking about. It was strips of clothing that they wrapped around a baby. I believe Mary, knowing that her time was near, she would have had the things that she needed for that baby to keep it warm at that time, that when it was born, it would be able to survive in that time. I believe God was going to make sure of it, but the fact of the matter, a good mother will always take care of her child even before that it's born is what she'll do. But according to the scripture here, that it says that there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I've heard discussions about this subject. I know the ladies' Bible study had this discussion the other day, and probably what it meant here, that there was not a room as far as a hotel room or even a room in a house, because of everybody coming back to Bethlehem at that time. And what we find is that they would have been probably in what was considered a stable. Now, generally the way we describe a stable in our children's plays is a little building, maybe a shack of what you might call, maybe a roof and maybe four poles, but they could get in. Maybe it had a side or two on it. From what my research was, they would have had to have been at least three sides to this building. Now, tradition says, and I'm saying the Jewish tradition in Jerusalem, said that it was like a cave. It may have been. I don't know what it was, but I do realize that from what I read in the scripture, there was no room for them there in Bethlehem. They went to a place that most of the time in our minds, it would not have been what God, what most people would have thought was the place of the God's Son to be born. If you'll go back and look in the book of Matthew, and I believe it's also the second chapter where it talks about how that the wise men came. And the first place that we have record of them coming to search was in the king's palace. They went to King Herod himself, and they said, we're seeking the king of the Jews. And he wasn't there. He wasn't found in that place. King Herod had no idea who this child was. He had probably heard them talk about the Messiah coming, but as far as him knowing who he was or where he was, he had to do some questioning. He went to the priests that were in the temple, and he asked them, "What? Where would this child be born?" And they told him, "In Bethlehem." And they sent the wise men to Bethlehem for him to be for them to witness this child, the Son of God, in that place. Now, the idea and the thought that I really want to bring out today, though, is that last phrase, because there was no room for them in the inn. But I want to change that "them" to this, to for of him. The idea is today, is there room for Jesus today? I think we live in a day and age where that we think, yes, there is room for Jesus in this world for him. But I understand in my thoughts and my understanding of things, there's really not much room for Jesus in this world today. There's not, because we are cumbered by so many things in our lives. We kind of get into our minds that there's things that we need to have more important than Jesus himself in that day. We tend to think, well, I need to do this or I need to do that. In this time of year, we have in our minds, well, we've got to make plans for Christmas. We've got to buy the gifts. We got to buy the food. Then we got to prepare the food. We got to wrap the gifts. We've got to get everything ready so everybody can come in that we can have our celebration that is there. And don't get me wrong, that is not a bad thing to do up to a particular point. As long as we keep Jesus in the room, we're in good shape. But I'm afraid in these days, we're much like the people in Jesus' days. Some 33 and a half years later, we find that there was a trial going on. And Jesus, again, was the central figure in this day. And what we find was that there was individuals in that day that were looking at him and saying, you said that you were the Christ, the Messiah. They said, you've made yourself equal with God. They said, you would tear down the temple and build it back in 3 days. They made all sorts of accusations against him. And then they brought him to Pilate, who was the king of that area in that day. And what the scripture tells us, that in that day, there was no room for Jesus. If you think about it, now what really happened at that trial that day, the people cried out, and you'll find this in the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, and the people were crying out unto Pilate in that day, because Pilate in his mind, he found no fault in the man. There was no sin about him, actually. There was nothing that he'd ever done that was wrong according to the laws of Rome or even according to the laws of the Jewish people. And Pilate said, I find no fault in him. But in the 20th verse, or 21st verse, it says, but they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him. Now, the question is why were they wanting to crucify Jesus in that day? In their minds, I think you can say it in this way. They didn't think there was room for Jesus and them in that day. If you go back and you look at what they were doing, I'm talking about the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests in that day, they were saying, lest he take our place. And what that meant was that they would lose their position in the temple, and Jesus would take over everything, and the people would be in favor of him. So what they did in that day when Pilate was trying him, they started saying, we don't have room for Jesus in that day. So crucify him, put him to death, is what they were saying. And in the 22nd verse, Pilate said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I find no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go, is what he says. And the people, and they that were instant with a loud voice, requiring that he might be crucified. Now listen to the thoughts of this. We know ourselves what Jesus, who he is, and we know what he is, and we know where he came from. And because of all of that, today people are still in an uproar about Jesus. And what I mean is, there's still individuals out there today that would say, do away with Jesus. If they see a picture of maybe of him hanging on the cross, and they would say, that's a cruel scene. We don't need to see that. They would say about even his birth, they would say, well, it really wasn't that miraculous of a thing. But we know today that according to the scripture, that he was born of a virgin woman. She'd never been with a man. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and she conceived and bare a child, is what she had. Now, you might say, well, Joseph was probably involved in that. But if you'll notice what the Bible says, it says that she was espoused, and what that meant was she was engaged, although, and never had married him. Did you realize that? They had had no relations in any way other than he took her as his wife, and he became the father of the child in this world. But what he was trying to do in that day was trying to make it as easy as he possibly could for Mary and for Joseph, or Jesus, in that day. Now, how much room is there for Jesus today in your life is what I want to ask you. In the days of Jesus and while he was here upon this earth, if you'll go to Mark the 5th chapter, you'll find a story of a man that I want to say was basically full. I want to say full of sin. Do you ever feel like yourself that you just have gotten full of sin? You know that you're a sinner. The sin that is in you, the disbelief that you have that is inside of you, all of that just has filled you up so much that you just can't love God completely. Have you ever felt like that? Oh, there was a time that I did feel like that. Oh, I'm not saying that I was what we would call an evil person. I wasn't anything like, we'll say, like Hitler or any mass murder, Manson or something like that. I wasn't nothing like that. But I was a sinner in the eyes of God. And what I mean by a sinner, I had not believed in Jesus to the very fullest that I could. Now, notice I said to the very fullest that I could. You see what I did. I grew up in church. I told you how I was brought up earlier. I grew up in church. I went to Sunday school, and they taught me about Jesus. I believed what they said. I did. I believed what they said. I heard the men and women of the church sing about Jesus. I believed what those songs said. I heard the preachers preach about Jesus. Oh, I believed what he said. But there came a day when I realized I just hadn't believed enough. What does that mean? It means that I believed here, but I hadn't believed here. You see, that's the difference there. God wants us to believe with every part of our being. And what I mean about every part of our being, it means, as Jesus said, you got to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And what that's talking about is you giving your very fullest belief unto Him. How do you do that, in other words? There comes a time that you've got to give it over to Him. And in this fifth chapter of Mark, you'll find a story there of when Jesus entered into on the east bank of the Jordan or the Sea of Galilee, I should say, that they entered into a place, and truthfully, it was a Gentile area is what it was. And Jesus, they get onto the shore there, and there comes a man running out unto Jesus. And this man, first of all, he was naked, he was dirty, he was filthy, but more than anything else, he was filled up with sin. The Bible said that he had demons within him. Notice I said demons, not just one. But when Jesus asked him what was his name, the demons spoke out, and they said legion. What did legion mean? That means multiple. Probably even 1,000 of them were in him. He had a fullness of sin about him in those demons that God, that he had allowed to be in him. When we are sinners in the eyes of God, we're just as sinful as this man was. He was full of sin, and there was really no space for Jesus to come in, you might say. In our minds and in the people's minds, they said within themselves, there's no hope for this man. You know what they'd done? They had went at times and they had captured him. They took chains and they put him around his wrist and held him that way. They chained him to different things, just trying to hold him. And you know what he did? He broke the steel chain. That's what sin will do to you. If you rely on sin, it'll just bind you even more. You see, man can't save you. There's not a man on this earth that can ever save your soul. There's no man can tell you whether or not you're saved or not. I hear it a lot of times out of people. They'll say, well, the preacher said that I was saved, and that meant I was saved. I've heard people say I went up and I shook the preacher's hands, and that was enough. I've heard people say that people came by and read me scripture and said, don't you believe this? And like I did in Sunday school, I believed it, but they didn't really have anything to give you in the soul. So what we find about legion was, they said, what have we got to do with you, Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Let me ask you that question today. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to just keep that sin that you have in your heart and in your soul just bound up inside of you? Are you going to make room for Jesus? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can't do a thing about it. There's only one that can save you, and that's Jesus himself. For when Jesus came that day to that man, first of all, he got rid of the demons in there. He cleaned them up. He got rid of them is what he did. Now, the thing that I want you to realize, that later on in the scripture it says that the people, when they saw what had happened with the man, the demons left him, and they went into a herd of swine, and they ran violently into the sea, and they choked themselves. They didn't want any part of that demon that was in that man. They were smarter than the man was, in other words. What they did, when they saw all of these things that happened, all the people of the area came out to see just what had happened to the man. Now, remember I told you, first of all, he had all these demons. He was naked. He was dirty. And he could not be bound by no man. You know where they found him at? They found him seated at the feet of Jesus. They found a place for him, didn't he? He was clothed. I believe he actually had on clothes, but you know what happened more than anything? God clothed his soul. He washed him up. He cleaned him up. He put a new robe upon him, as it says about the prodigal son. He was there with Jesus in that day. But the rest of the people said, Jesus, you need to leave. You need to go away. We don't understand these things. And if you get truly saved by the grace of God today, you know what you'll do. There'll be people who'll say, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe there's really that much of a change. That's why it's up to you to show that change unto them, not by words, but by your actions is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to live and look like Christ is what you're supposed to do. But you can't fully do that until you have Christ on the inside. And that's what that man had. Now I'm going to one other scripture here, and then I'll try to wind up, Brother Sam. In the second chapter of the book of Mark, we find another story. You notice I'm going backwards here. But we find a man that was lame from birth is what we find. The scripture tells us that Jesus went into a house there, and there he was teaching in that place. Now, I don't know if it was a regular house or it was a house of worship. Maybe it was a big gathering place. I do not know what kind of house it was. But there was people all around in that place in that day. And I mean, it was such a crowd that was just wanting to hear what Jesus had to say. Now, you think about that. How bad do you want to hear what Jesus has to say to you? Would you be willing to stand out in the cold or in the rain just to hear what Jesus had to say to you? Would you make a place for him that you could hear him whenever that he spoke to you? That's what we have today. Many times we fail to allow Jesus to come in and to speak to us is what we generally do. But the idea that I want you to have in mind today is about this man here. What the scripture tells us about him, that he was lame, but he had four friends. He had four friends that were willing to take him and hold him in that day. Not only hold him, but to pick him up and carry him to where Jesus was. And when they got there, the crowd was so big, they were not able to bring Jesus in to him that day. And what he did that day was different. These men had such a desire. They had such a desire for Jesus to come back into their lives in that day, to come in and help this man. They went up on top of the roof. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like high places. A roof like this building here, no. Too steep. I'm not a monkey. I'll say it that way. I would fall off in a heartbeat. I don't know if it was that kind of a roof or if it's a flat roof. But Scripture said that these four friends wanted this man to get in front of Jesus so bad. They went up on top of the roof. And what the Scripture said, they took the roof apart. I don't know how they did it. I don't know what kind of roof it was. But they opened up a section of that roof just to get Jesus in front, this man in front of Jesus. Now, what the scripture tells us, that as they let him down, Jesus seeing him, seeing their faith, seeing their desire. I believe he saw that man's faith too. Now, most everybody will tell you that he was there to be healed of his legs, of his palsy that he had. This desire that he had was about that. Jesus knows your heart today. He knew that man's heart. He knew the need more than the man did. He knows your need today. And what I want you to understand is, if you're a sinner in the sight of God today, you know what? He knows exactly where you're at. Honestly, this is me thinking. Jesus knew about them coming outside of that house, trying to get through the crowd. They didn't have to tell. Somebody have to tell. There's a man out here that four guys is bringing in, but they can't get in. They didn't have to tell him about it. He knew about it. You know what he did? When they got up on that roof and they came down, if you want to go look at it, verse 9. Excuse me, wrong place. Verse 5. Jesus saith unto him, their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Back several years ago, I had a young lady. She was questioning me. She said, don't you believe in miracles? I said, I sure do. Greatest miracle that I ever had was when the Lord saved my soul. As far as I'm concerned, that's the greatest miracle outside of this book. That's me. That's the greatest miracle that I'll ever have is that right there. The fact that he died for me is great. The fact that I was able to trust him, that was great. But the fact that he did for me what no other man or any other person on this earth could do, in that he cleaned my soul up and he made me whole, that was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. I love my family. They're great. But that salvation that he did inside of me was a great miracle. He just said to the man, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. They had made room for the Lord to do a work. Okay? When Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, no doubt they thought, well, there's family members there. We'll have a place to stay. Well, the Bible calls it an inn. I don't know if it's an inn or not. I've heard people talk about that. Don't matter. They thought, surely we'll have a place that we can go. We can stay there. And if the child comes during that time, it'll be all well and good. But there was no room. No room for the Christ child. How is it in your heart today? I want you to think about that today. Have you made room for Jesus today? I'm going to ask us as church members, as saved individuals, have we picked them up and carried them to Jesus? That's what Sister Kendra was talking about earlier, about her son-in-law. That's what Brother Randall was talking about, his son that had even got to the place where he thought himself an atheist. He was picking him up and carrying him. Hey, did any of you pick up the corner? How many of you ever tried to pick up somebody good and heavy? I remember when Paul's mother fell one time, I went down there and picked her up. She wasn't heavy. know what's the first thing come to my mind? When I got down there and got behind her and took hold of her shoulders and started to come up, I thought, can I do this? How many of you ever thought about, can I really take them to the Lord? Somebody said, well, you can stay in that stable, in that stall, where the donkeys are, oxes. You know what I am? You know what I was? I'll put it that way. I was just an old donkey. I was just an old donkey. Wasn't fit much more than to just do labor. But I witnessed what Jesus could do. There was room for me because I made room for him. Is there room for Jesus today? Is your thought. Brother Sam, while we stand and sing, if you're here today and you're a sinner and you know it, that's what these benches are here for. You know that. Most of you do. They're set aside for people to pray. I'll say this in this way too. It's not just for those that are sinners and lost. It's a place for the people that's saved to come and pray about. You know, to pick up that bed, pick up the corner of the bed and carry them. That's what it's for. To pick it up, good place to pray. While we stand and sing, use the opportunity to seek God today.
191.